Welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 122. I'm your host, Emmanuel Vincent, and I hope everybody's week is off to a good start thus far, as we are approaching hump day. So whatever you got going on, just push through, and before you know it, the weekend will be here. This episode just focus on a quick recap of game two between the Heat and the Nuggets, the NBA Finals, of course, and also a quick preview of game three, which take place tomorrow. Series moves to Miami. It's been a pretty good final so far. I'm not complaining as a basketball fan. A lot of people I know were down on the fact that this series lacks the star power, and people fear that this might be one of the worst rated series of all time, final series of all time. But hey, I love it, what I'm seeing so far. Great basketball being played. It's like a chess match, so I can't wait to see what's going to transpire tomorrow down in Miami. I also did touch on the rumors of Kyrie recruiting LeBron to join the Mavs this offseason, and also about the Mavs looking at that. There were reports that the Mavs were getting ready to offer a trade package to get LeBron out of LA. So that's included as well. And we can actually get into this pod right now. There it is. These NBA Finals have been great so far, in my opinion. I know a lot of people are down on the fact that there were a lack of superstars, or you know, the usual characters that we've come to love in the NBA Finals. But this has been amazing. I did say that early on when the Conference Finals were going on, as it kind of looked like it was going to be Denver and Miami in the finals, and I said that this was going to be a great series and only true Hoop fans would appreciate it. Casual fans, yeah, of course they wouldn't appreciate it. If they're tuning in every now and then, they're not going to really be familiar with these players that are playing in the game, playing for the championship. So, of course, they're not going to like it, but I'm loving what I'm seeing right here. Seeing great coaching, great teamwork, good defense, good shot making, just at the highest level, right? Salute to Miami for winning game two, 111-108. Series is now tied 1-1. Not really sure that they have the edge now, or they have all the momentum is going on their side, because this series, I think that these teams are very much evenly matched, at least when it comes to, you know, the X's and O's and shooting and, you know, everything that's required now in basketball today. I'm not going to say coaching is matched, because I do think Eric Spoelstra is arguably the best coach in the league, top two if you want to include Coach Pop of GP, top two certainly then. But Spo time and time again has showed just how good he's been, and probably doesn't get the respect that he deserves. And I do think that that is possibly because early on, those years when he won the championships and made four conference finals and won two championships, he did have the big three, which consisted of LeBron James, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh. So that kind of, I feel like that has kind of diminished his success in a lot of critics' eyes. Because he's had those great players, but what he's been able to do with Miami in the last four seasons, reaching three conference finals and two finals appearances, you can't deny his greatness anymore. So I think that he's going to have to get that respect that he needs, because the fact that he doesn't have a Coach of the Year award yet on his resume is kind of crazy when you look at it. But again, I do think that playing a part played a part in that is the fact that he did have LeBron James, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh on his team, because he easily could have won it that year. They won 27 games in a row. I think that, I want to say that was the 2012-2013 season. They won on a 27-game win streak, and I think they won 66 games or 67. They're definitely within the mid, hovering around 67 wins in that season. So he easily could have won it that year, right? But he didn't. But he is just... he's just showing himself, just how good of a coach he is, making these adjustments that he made heading into game two after the Heat fell in game one. You know, electing to start Kevin Love, which did help with essentially, more favorable matchups on defense, such as having Jimmy Butler on Jamal Murray. That kind of eliminated the problem that they had in game one with the cross matches, in which Eric Gordon was just, you know, having his way with the likes of Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent due to their lack of, like, of their just them being essentially not strong enough to hold up with Eric Gordon in the paint, because he is definitely the strong guy who, you know, and it just didn't work in their favor, but that helped in that situation. And then, of course, you know, the zone that he implements, and I think that it was brilliant that they decided, like, not to necessarily help too much with Nikola Jokic, but instead, like, you know, make him work hard and take away one of his strengths, which is his passing ability, because Joker, you know, is a generational player. We know that. We've heard that so far, and he truly is, averaging a triple-double this series, well, this season, actually, this postseason, to be more specific, but he did only have 4 assists in game 2. But he did have 41 points and 11 rebounds. But 4 assists, that's not Joker's – that's not the way Joker wants to play the game of basketball. And when I say that, I'm saying that he doesn't, like, want necessarily score. Just, like, go down on the block and try to make a move to score. He likes to get other people involved and, you know, open up the offense for his team. And that just didn't happen in game 2. And I think that was by design. They noticed that, hey, you gotta take away one of his strengths, and that's gonna get, and if we do that and do it effectively, that can put us in a good position to win. And as a result, that happened. And then, of course, the likes of, you know, Duncan Robinson, who came out in the fourth quarter, just blazing, ended up scoring 10 points for the game, all in the fourth quarter, hit a couple of big shots, got to the basket. He was just doing his thing, and so to him, you know, the guy who after signing a big deal, fell the rotation, but didn't complain. You know, he just stayed ready for when his time came, and due to the Miami's injuries they have to the likes of Tyler Herro and Victor Oladipo, he signed himself back into the rotation, and now he's playing meaningful minutes on the biggest stage. So he deserves it. And then Gabe Vincent, too, who struggled in game one, he was big in game two. I believe he led he was a high scorer for the Heat in the game. And then, of course, Jimmy Buckets was big as well, too, especially in the fourth quarter, because he was, like, actually struggling short from the field, but hit some timely big shots in the fourth, and just reminded people why he's been coined Jimmy Buckets, because of what he did in the fourth quarter. But now the series does move to Miami on Wednesday, and essentially the Heat is just going to have to keep playing the way that they played. In game 2, essentially just to outwork, coming with the mindset that we have to outwork these guys, because, you know, we are kind of at a disadvantage from a height and size standpoint. But if we outwork them and out hustle them and out execute them, we put ourselves in a position to win this game. I think that's the mindset they're gonna have. I don't see that they're gonna get away from that. And get away from Kevin Love in the starting lineup. And now, right, you know, they say that role plays play better at home, so this can be a game, too, with Strus, for the likes of Strus, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, Kyle Lowry, that they really go off in this game. If not all, at least 2 to 3 of them potentially can do that in Miami, you know, because, you know, having that home crowd behind you is going to be – is a true advantage, and the fact that they're no longer playing at high altitude, rather, is going to be a great advantage as well, because I know that was tough. Of course, it's been tough. It's been reported how difficult it is there to play in Denver, to have your body adjust to that environment. So now they're in South Beach now, and these guys are going to be big for the Denver Nuggets. They're really going to have to come out and play with more urgency. It was kind of, if you're a Nuggets fan, you probably didn't want to hear what Coach Malone had to say in the post-game interview after game 2, paraphrasing obviously, when he essentially said that he was just really concerned about the fact that his squad didn't come up with the effort and concentration needed in a finals game. The fact that this isn't a preseason game or a regular season game, but instead a finals game, it was kind of discouraging that a squad failed to, embrace the moment and, just really lock in. So that's pretty sad. I wonder just how much this is going to motivate them to win this game after dropping one at home. Even though I thought that they weren't going to go unblemished and home throughout the course of this of these playoffs and NBA Finals, I thought that they'll bound to lose one game at home, and it's not really shocking that it was Miami. I see a lot of people on social media just saying, "Yo, poking fun. Wow, the Lakers couldn't even do that, but the Heat did it." You can't forget that this team has been around longer. There's more cohesion. They are by far coached better than the Lakers are, and that's no knock on Darvin Ham in his first year in the head coaching role in the NBA. I think he's done a damn good job, but this is Coach Spo. He's been there for years. He's proven himself on the biggest stage. He knows how to, get the most out of his players and have and how to get his players to buy in and keep focused. So it's not shocking at all that they were able to steal one at home. In fact, it makes sense that they were the team that was able to steal one at home, because they're just greatly coached. But to the Denver Nuggets, they're really gonna have to find a way to get the others involved. And I say others, I mean not Nikola Jokic, because that was asking a lot of him. Just to play the way he played. Jamal Murray is gonna have to be better, shoot better from the field. We have to credit Miami though for doing a good job of making sure a better defender, making sure rather that a second defender was being seen by him the minute he put the ball on the floor, and then obviously having Jimmy buckets on him as well too, who's bigger in size and can kind of affect his shot. But he's gonna have to find a way to be more effective. And of course, Michael Porter Jr., KCP, Bruce Brown, these guys are gonna have to play big on the road. KCP was just some ridiculous fouls. Two, maybe even three, but there were definitely two fouls he committed on a 3-point shooter, which led to six free throw attempts. And KCP was just complaining, and but when there were clearly fouls, I mean, we could see it in the broadcast and the replay, but he was just complaining. He got to be better than that. This is the guy who's won a championship, who's been in the finals before. He's got to be better than that, and I'm sure he knows that too as well. And then the Denver Nuggets too, they're just gonna need to just stop complaining every single second a whistle goes their way. They were doing a lot of that on Sunday, and I think what kind of hurts the Denver Nuggets in this scenario is the fact that they don't have a veteran. And well, they do have Jeff Green. He did go to the he was I believe he was on the finals team in 2018. Yes, he was on the finals team when the Cavs got swept by the Warriors in 2018. So he's on the team, but they don't have they have one guy. They don't have multiple players on the team that have been. And this, well, they have KCP. He's been there before too. Okay, so no, that's not really going to work, what I'm going to say. But they don't have as much, nearly as much, like guys who have been in the trenches like the Heat, where you have the likes of Jimmy Butler's second. While he had the one to chip, he's been in multiple conference finals. He's in his second NBA finals, and his mentality is like it's just built for the postseason. Then you have the likes of Kevin Love, who was on the championship team with the 2016 Cavs, who's been there before, has been in like multiple NBA finals. And you have Kyle Lowry, who's been there before as well too, won a championship with the Raptors back in 2019. So they have three guys there who damn near have deep postseason run, two former NBA champions, right? So they know what it takes to win, and they can be the ones that can guide the others on the team who haven't been champions and you know, and help them, like, you know, help them, help calm them down in situations where they feel like the refs are against them or calls aren't going their way. They can help reel them in and tell them that, you know what, just calm them down. We'll get through this. You know, you can get over this mental block and let's go. So they have that benefit. The Denver Nuggets don't really have that benefit outside of KCP, who's been on the team. But again, he just looked like he looked like you would have swear that he didn't play in the 2020 team the way he played in game two. The way he performed, so that's really concerning. That's a little concerning. So that's the reason why I can see if Miami was to pull it out, that could be a big reason why if they were to win this series. But I did pick Denver Nuggets to win in six. I'm still confident with that pick. No way did I think that they were gonna get swept the Miami Heat. I've seen people saying that they were gonna get swept. There's gonna be a boring finals, but they just don't watch basketball enough. They are essentially casual fans. They don't appreciate what the Heat do. They are not, and yes, they were an A seed. And I did make fun of Celtics fans when they lost, saying that they lost to an A seed team with two rotation players missing, which is a fact. But at the same time, they're not a real A seed. They have pedigree. They have to be the best A seed ever to get to the finals, based on everything I mentioned about the coaching, the championship pedigree on that team, the deep playoff run from several players. They have all the ingredients you need to win a championship, essentially. And that's on full display right now, certainly two games into this NBA finals. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on as the series plays out. We have game three on Wednesday and game four on Friday. So now it changes now, as opposed to being Tuesday and Thursday, as opposed to being rather Tuesday and Thursday due to the travel from Denver to Miami. But again, I'm having fun with the series. It's gonna be a great series. It's gonna go the distance. I said Denver in six. Hey, it could be Denver in seven. It could be Miami in six. It could be Miami in seven. If Miami was able to pull off a game seven victory on the road in a hostile environment like Denver, with that high altitude being a factor, wouldn't shock me at all. Not one bit. Just because of the mentality that they possess, the coach on the sideline, and the championship pedigree that team has. But yeah, I'm loving it. It's a great finals. I just wanted to touch in on this because I didn't get a chance to do a quick reaction after the game. So I just wanted to preview, check in, talk about the series. So I will be back and we'll talk more about what is going on in the league. Before I begin the next segment, I want to give props to Bam. I forgot to do that in the previous segment. Bam Adebayo is playing exceptionally well in these finals, currently averaging 23 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists two games in, but he's playing great. I did think that the only way that they have a chance to win, they're going to need Bam to really, really be good offensively, because he did struggle with the last 2 to 3 games in the conference finals, from an offensive standpoint at least. That I thought that they were going to need his every point from him as much as possible to have a chance to compete with this high-powered offense that the Nuggets possess. And he's lived up to the challenge thus far, being efficient in the mid-range, exceptional passing as usual, fighting on the glass, being the great defender that he is, making his presence felt on that end of the court. Bam is playing great. Hopefully he keeps it up, because if he does keep it up, then this series will be very, very, very interesting. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what I've seen today with the news surrounding LeBron James, as reports came out earlier that the Miami Heat were trying to possibly explore the possibility of trading for LeBron when the Lakers were struggling mightily in the season. I think it was prior to the trade deadline. Definitely was prior to the trade deadline, reports said. And then there's reports that Kyrie want the Lakers to, or rather the Mavs, to pursue LeBron, possibly to explore rather trading LeBron. trading for LeBron this offseason coming up. And then most recently, we see that Kyrie intends on signing with the Mavs. It's just a mess. It's funny. You never really hear this stuff come up during an NBA Finals news like this. I can't recall it. Again, I think this is just a reflection of the fact that these two teams that are in the finals have lacked star power, so they need more content. You know, the social media and bloggers and all these websites need more content that's going to have people engaged due to the fact that this final isn't really for the casual fan. But a lot of this stuff, everybody eats it up. The NBA has been essentially a soap opera. Not necessarily saying that's a bad or a good thing, but that's just what has been the last several seasons, especially in the offseason. But then again, we are not in the offseason right now. There's still the series going on, but people love this stuff. It's gonna gain traction on websites. It's gonna build up engagement, and it's gonna have people talking. And by the time the summer hits and this finals is over, it's going to keep the ball rolling for the NBA, and the NBA really has been essentially an all-year sport. When you consider this, what's been going on in the previous few off seasons that we had leading into this season, it's been the talk essentially. I would say more than the NFL has from an all-year standpoint, considering the off-season moves that take place. Firing coaches and, this is common right now. So I'm not shocked that this is going on. There's no way in hell LeBron James will be in a Mavs uniform in October. It's just not happening. Okay. Lakers are the Lakers. They are always concerned about star power. That is what this franchise essentially has been ever since the Buss family took over. When they invented Showtime, they started marketing the game, had the Laker girls, had Showtime, had celebrities sitting courtside. They are always conscious of having star power in that organization. LeBron James is still a star in the NBA, arguably the biggest star in the NBA. He's definitely not the best player in the NBA anymore. Definitely not top five. He may not even be top 10, but that's another conversation for another day. And I know, he still puts up these insane video game type stats, but he does not impact the game nearly the same way he did about 4 to 5 years ago. And that's fine because the man's about to be 39 this year. That's okay. But he is still the biggest star in the NBA, and the Lakers know that they need him to, to essentially, keep the brand essentially relevant, sell tickets, have the brand buzzing. This is what the Lakers are. They're not going to trade LeBron for anybody on the Mavs, because the Mavs aren't giving up Luka in a trade scenario for LeBron James. Why the hell would they do that? Luka's only, 24 years old? I believe 24 years old, and still has a lot of years left in the tank, whereas LeBron, he doesn't. So what incentive would the Lakers have to trade LeBron for anybody on the Dallas Mavericks? Now, I mean, the only way that can happen, I would think, is if LeBron just came out and said, I want to be traded, and I'm going to be traded specifically to the Mavs. But I don't see LeBron doing that. He's never really been that type of – he hasn't done that at any point in his career, so I don't see why he would do it now. I've always respected LeBron from the fact that in this era of player empowerment, he has been consistent in that he has always honored his contracts and gave 110%. I don't think that he would change that now. The only way I can see LeBron, changing his tune on that would be for the opportunity to play with his son whenever he comes to the league and possibly try to go to the team that drafts him. Only way I can see that. Other than that, he's going to honor his contract. And plus, it's L.A. He is established in L.A. Ever since coming to the Lakers. He's expanded his brand. His net worth has exploded. He became a billionaire recently. His kids are in school in LA. He loves it out there. Who wouldn't love it out there? Having that money, living that lifestyle, why wouldn't you love being in LA? So that's just not going to happen. The Lakers are not trading LeBron James for anybody on the Dallas Mavericks. Now, and I did see too that they said that the Lakers aren't interested in Kyrie. Kyrie's probably going to stay with the Mavs because they do have his bird rights, which means that they're able to give him a 5-year deal, as opposed to any other team he would try to sign with in free agency. They can only give him offer him a 4-year deal, so he gets that extra year, and which means extra money. Plus, he's living in a state which has no state income tax, so that's going to be a that would be a plus. And he gets a chance to play with another with a legit superstar in Luka. And now, of course, things didn't go well for them when they made that trade mid-season, and the Mavs essentially gutted their team to acquire Kyrie, and in the process gave up their depth, especially with Dorian Finney-Smith, their best wing defender that they had. So they were compromised on the defensive side of the wing and the perimeter. So they essentially missed the playoffs and punted one of the last few games in effort to keep that top 10 pick that they were able to get in the draft, in draft lottery rather, so they can use that in a package to try to get some talent on a team to help them. But I do think that Dallas, I think, will be fine. They don't need to trade for LeBron James. I mean, if LeBron was to go there, they would be a great team. They do have the pencil them in as the chip title contenders, right? I mean, LeBron James, Luka, and Kyrie on the same team, that would be insane. You can just plug in a bunch of vet minimum players around them. They'll figure it out, I think. And with the full training camp, it'll be a problem. But I don't, again, that's realistically, it's just not going to happen at all. But it's just kind of a shame, like I guess I mentioned, how that situation is taking away from this NBA Finals, which will be, I think, one of the better NBA Finals we have from a coaching standpoint and execution that we've seen in a while. I mean, I know it's lacking that flair, the star powers, but it doesn't matter. It's good. It's a good finals, and it just sucks that this is, kind of stealing headlines in a sense. I stayed away from all debate shows and sports shows today, so I didn't get a chance to catch up on any. But I wouldn't be surprised if this leads tomorrow morning on debate shows or radio shows throughout the country, because hey, they didn't play a game yesterday. It's not like they played today, rather, tonight on the Nuggets and Heat. So that could be used as an excuse to, start off the A block with this news about Kyrie potentially recruiting LeBron James to come down to play in Dallas. But I wouldn't be surprised. It's very possible. I would like to see how this plays out. That is it for this episode. Thank you guys for checking this episode out. And if you haven't already, be sure to hit that subscribe button, as this pod is available just about everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast at, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other streaming platforms as well. Be sure to follow me on social media too, if you like, of course, Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Vincent 13. And you can also like my Facebook fan page as well, Emmanuel Vincent. So that's all the time I have for now. I will be doing a live reaction pod to game 3. So you should be on the lookout for that. I would say Thursday morning. It will definitely be out by Thursday morning, because I will do that pod. And I'll possibly also touch on the situation involving John Morant and some more information that's come out today. Didn't have time to talk about it in this pod, but I will touch on that on the next pod as well. Until then, you guys stay blessed, stay safe, take care. Thank you. Thank you.